Well, you know, that's America. We've got people that, you know, they don't have anybody on the wall, but they understand and appreciate what the veterans done for us.
The moving wall arrives in Haines, and Don Young visits Southeast Alaska. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Vietnam Memorial Moving Wall arrived in Haines this week. Appropriately, it's being displayed on the Fort Seward Parade Grounds, where the view of the Lynn Canal and mountains offers a stunning background to the somber reminder of the more than 58,000 U.S. servicemen and women that died in the Vietnam conflict. At the opening ceremony for the wall on Wednesday, Joe Fields with the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council explained how bringing the moving wall to communities is a way of honoring those whose names appear on the wall.
For me, I'm kind of romantic in the sense that I think of each one of them as a line in a great American poem, that each one is a stanza that has an entire set of footnotes by it that tells you who they are. We'll never know any of them, but many of their families are in Alaska, and I'm glad that you all came out to honor them.
The moving wall is a half-sized replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. At more than 250 feet long, it's comprised of 74 black aluminum panels, silk-screened with the names of 58,272 U.S. casualties in Vietnam. John DeVitt envisioned the traveling memorial as a way to bring remembrance and healing to veterans and communities around the country, especially for those who will never get the chance to visit the wall in Washington. For 20 years, the moving wall has traveled the U.S., and this was the fifth time it's come to Alaska, and the first time in 15 years it's been to Haines. At the opening ceremony, Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott explained the connection the Chilkat Valley has to veterans. She said at best count, 39 young men from Haines and Klukwan fought in the Vietnam War. All of them returned alive. But many more have moved to the area over the years, and now about 15% of the population is comprised of veterans.
Living in Haines, it's very likely that I will be talking to a veteran every day. This means a lot to me. It means that I'm rubbing shoulders daily with people who embody integrity, loyalty, courage, and love. It means that it is likely that some of those fine qualities will be transmitted by example to me, to my neighbors, to my children, and to our communal life.
Fields, from Fairbanks, was a 19-year-old newlywed when he enlisted and was sent to Vietnam. He was a recovery helicopter crew chief with the 173rd Airborne. He said despite what some civilians thought of the Vietnam War and returning servicemen, he remembers the troops he served with as skilled and professional.
They were really so darn good. I mean, they were really professional, really talented, really skilled at what they did, and really never lost a battle in the entire war. Lost a political battle.
Fields said Vietnam veterans often bore the brunt of society's disdain of the war.
The coming back for Vietnam vets was really pretty badly done. And while people will say, it was just some protesters didn't like them. There were, million men type marches that they may have been even correct on the war, but they were wrong about putting it on the warriors.
Cindy Fields, Joe's husband, said it wasn't easy as a family member to see how veterans were treated when they returned home.
Joe was spat on. He couldn't find a job. There are all sorts of things that happened to our friends and people in Fairbanks that we knew very well. And it was very hard to adjust to accept that. But it's a prejudice, it's a bigotry, it's an opinion-driven world.
But, she said, healing continues, even if there will always be a lasting effect of losing so many people of a generation. She and Joe became involved with the wall in the 80s, and the effort to bring the wall to Alaska and around the country has helped them stay connected with other veterans, she said.
You can't lose so many people of a generation and not have the ripple effect. You know, it's a big boulder, some ripples in pristine ponds or skipping rock kind of ripples, and this one was a boulder. And there's no regrets, there's no anger or hostility. We've learned to heal all that. There was major adjustments, and there has continued to be adjustments, and it all relates to what we learned when we were puppies.
American Legion Commander Bill McRoberts said the wall isn't here just for veterans and their families. It's also for the entire community. He said it exemplifies the idea that the wall goes beyond politics or beliefs about the right and wrong of war, but it's meant to bring communities together to find their commonality about the importance of honoring veterans.
Well, you know, that's America. We've got people that, you know, they don't have anybody on the wall. They don't have a person within their family that served, but they understand and appreciate what the veterans done for us. Put it plain and simple, if it wasn't for the veterans, I mean, they're the ones that keep our freedom going. And, you know, and a lot of people disagree with what's going on and stuff. And, that, and again, that's a part of America, having that opportunity. And the amazing thing about it is that veteran's over there fighting, giving his life so that person can have that opinion.
The wall will remain at the parade grounds until next Tuesday. It's open to viewing 24 hours a day, and volunteers will staff the area continuously. Volunteers can also help visitors find a specific name on the panels. If you're in Haines and looking for a reason to drive up the highway this week, or in Skagway and looking for a longer road trip, Haines Junction might be the place to go. The Yukon Town on Thursday evening is hosting the Best of the Dawson City International Short Film Festival. Dawson City hosts the opening of the festival each spring, and then films travel to smaller communities around the Yukon. Executive Director of Junction Arts and Music, Yvonne Leniak, said the short films range in subject and genre.
There's some funny ones, there's some artistic ones, ones that sort of stretch the boundaries of artistic film, and some story-type films.
Leniak said the organization is also hoping to bring more musical acts to the community this year.
And also support local musicians. There really hasn't been much in the way of, say, coffee houses or places to play. So we're trying to create a space for that, or at least events for that.
A barbecue starts at 6 p.m. Thursday at the St. Elias Center, with a film showing at 7:30. Alaska's lone congressman says transparency is the problem with, and not the solution to, good government. Don Young took advantage of the congressional recess to visit Southeast Alaska and speak at the Sitka Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday. He shared his nostalgia for the days before television cameras intruded into the Capitol. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Don Young told the large Sitka Chamber audience that he's 79 years old, feels 28, and acts 16. Wearing a flannel shirt and his trademark bolo tie, Young, who is the 56th longest-serving member of Congress in the history of the United States, said the modern Congress was more interested in the camera than constituents.
I will say truthfully, I think we probably have the least functioning Congress that I've ever served in. And why? Primarily it's because of this TV camera right here looking at me and the bobbleheads that represent the public instantaneously and the response by the congressman. Instead of doing what they believe is correct, they will respond to, I call the instant information cycle. I have never been accused of that. I do what I believe is correct by the people of Alaska. And when you decide that it's not correct, then I'll have another occupation.
Young had other complaints about changes in Congress over his years of service, principally the abdication of congressional budget-setting powers to the president.
We have neglected our duty. And I'll be right up front with you, the classic example recently is earmarks. That's our job as Congress, to designate. We have the right, and only us, not the president, to spend money and to raise money. And yet we somehow allow the president to set the priorities. And that's not good for a democracy. Does it affect any of you in this room immediately? No. It's a creeping, I call it like a disease that will eventually kill you. And a freedom that we had in the past will be lost.
Young, who wears his conservative stripes proudly, mourned the loss of bipartisanship. He attributed increasing gridlock to the fact that shifting toward compromise often came at a great political cost to members of both parties. He said more work got done when it was out of the public eye.
Any type of formal legislation, transparency and knowledge of everything makes it impossible to work jointly together to achieve a goal for the good of the people.
But Congress is not exclusively to blame for the country's problems, Young said. The federal bureaucracy has always been a favorite target, as well as more specific failings, such as a lack of an energy policy and excessive regulations. In Alaska, Young warned that residents had grown too comfortable, and it had affected our expectations and our productivity.
But 64 years, we've had good times. We're all pretty comfortable. State pays for this, the state pays for that. We all get lots of largesse from the government, federal and the state, and we stop producing.
Young said it was impossible to save our way to prosperity. He thought the lack of young people in the audience was telling. He did find one 20-year-old home from college and challenged her.
God has given this earth and given this state with the greatest resources in the world and actually the brain power to do it if we just have the courage and get off of our dusts and do it. That's our challenge, and that's your challenge, young lady. You may like what you have right now, but you're going to have kids someday, and they better be able to get a job.
Young is running for re-election this year. If Alaskans send him back to Washington, he'll be the 26th most senior congressman in the history of the United States. He told the chamber he has no plans to retire. I'll do this as long as God wants me to, he said. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
This is Margaret Friednauer for KHNS News. Special thanks to Robert Woolsey for his report. And thanks for listening.